I want to read verse 1 through verse 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. My text, or the where I introduce my subject for these two topical messages, is found in verse 2. And I'll let you try to figure that out. Over a year ago, it came into my heart to preach about heaven. So I decided to look up every verse in the Bible which contains the word heaven and heavens. Try it sometime. And upon review of the hundreds of verses wherein the topic is mentioned, I concluded that I would have to offer my findings into two sections. And so that's why it's tonight and tomorrow. And I'm going to speak about heaven. It's not my title, but I'm going to talk about heaven. My method was to read every verse, of course, and to collate the similar passages. So although the research was exhaustive and sometimes exhausting, but the messages will not be exhaustive. So I am not going to give you every verse. We're not going to be looking at everything, but I am going to give you some and a good deal of them. I've also chosen to introduce the subject with our text. Therefore, it is my objective tonight to define heaven based upon the depiction that's found in our verse, which is verse 2. And then tomorrow, the Lord willing, I will attempt to give a description of heaven. And so if heaven interests you and you want to know what the Bible has to say, you're going to get a pretty good smattering of it. And so that's where we're at. The title of my message is The Third Heaven. And this is the first part of that. So the third heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, the opportunity to share your word. And I ask, oh God, that you would just, as we look at these verses, be reminded it is your word. And through your word, we can learn, we can grow, we can know. And as we learn about truths found in the scripture, we learn about you. And so help us, oh God, to learn about heaven in these next two sessions. And help us to understand these verses properly and apply them. And we do ask for those that are here that are lost, that, Lord, you would convict them of their sin, help them to realize there is a heaven, heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I ask that they might recognize the truth of the existence of heaven, understand it. And, Lord, we pray that you give them a desire for it. We ask that you would grant repentance and faith that they might be saved. And we who are saved, may we rejoice in what we read, for we know that it'll be our future home. And, Lord, may we be encouraged by it. Bless this church and all of her endeavors. Bless her pastor and her family. And, Lord, just their missionaries and all that they do, that it would be for your honor and for your glory as your church shines forth in this location. Lord, bless them. And, Lord, bless tonight. Forgive us where we fall short, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the what? The third heaven. Hence the title of the message, The Third Heaven. Now what I want to do before we really get into the meat of the text and the scriptures is give you some contextual considerations. We're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We look into verse 2, but you have to keep in mind what's going on around this and a little bit about those verses of which we read. Our text defines for us that Paul is responding to those who have boasted of their privileges. Well, you have to go back to chapter 11 to find that, because they were all boasting about their privileges and all that. And he demonstrates that there's an equality among them. Verse 21 and verse 22 of chapter 11, we'll talk about that. You're a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew. You're Israelites, I'm an Israelite. There was an equality among them, among all those who were boasting. And he takes that a step further because he surpasses them in Christian service. So if you would take the time to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23 down to the end of the chapter, you will find a listing of Paul's sufferings and his afflictions. And very few of those people who were boasting of themselves could compare to that kind of a list. And so Paul expresses these things to kind of really put them in their place and really kind of rebuke them. But then we come into chapter 12, and he's really still kind of boasting along the way here. And so we read in verse 1 that, I'm still going to glory. And he touches on visions and revelations, as we read in the first verse. But in our second verse, he says, I knew a man. Excuse me. Practically everyone reckons this as the Apostle Paul. I'm sure that there are some who say, no, he's just talking in the third person. He's talking about somebody else. He's talking about some man that he knew and was acquainted with. I don't believe that is the case. I think he's talking about himself. And most commentators believe that. So he says, I knew a man. I think he's talking about himself. And he talks about that it was 14 years ago. Now, depending on how you date the scriptures, 2 Corinthians is generally dated around 58 A.D. Don't get angry with me. If you think it's 59 or 60, it makes no difference. It's 14 years prior to the writing of this epistle. He says, I knew a man. He's talking about himself and an experience of which he went through. Now, the thing is, we read there in the passage that, well, he said, I cannot tell. Verse 2, verse 3, he says, in the body, out of the body, I just really couldn't tell. He wasn't sure of his actual state. Was this a vision? Was he in the body, out of the body? Did he really go up there? He really didn't know, but he comes to the conclusion, well, he was caught up to the third heaven. How all that worked, was he in the body? But he was there. And so keep these things in mind that Paul has some questions about it. But what happened? He went from here to there. That's what he says. And he was caught up to that third heaven. And by the way, verse 4, also called it paradise. And so he said he was into paradise. And when he was there, he heard spiritual things. Verse 4 says he heard unspeakable words. Not that they couldn't be spoken, but it was just unlawful for him to come down and share it. He heard, he understood, he comprehended, but it wasn't right for him to come back and start writing a book and going on TV shows and talking about those experiences. He wasn't allowed to do that. And keep in mind, what's he referring to? Verse 1, he talked about visions and revelation. Those are the spiritual things of which he was concerned about. And so, what's he talking about? Well, I was caught up to where the third heaven and these things took place. We're concerned as we talk about heaven, and as I've mentioned to you, I want to use that to introduce our subject because, are you interested in heaven? Are you concerned about heaven? Do you hear messages on heaven? I've preached on heaven, but never like this. This is an the study was exhaustive, but the verses, you'll understand as we go through this, the labor that you'll need to go to just follow along and learn something about the third heaven. That being said, well, you know what? I believe that there are three heavens. At least from the scriptural standpoint, from the general Christian perspective, there are three heavens. And what I've chosen to do, I said we're going to be teaching tonight. I'm going to share with you a few brief quotes from some of the commentators in regard to this third heaven. Only four of them. They're not lengthy. Bear with me. But hear what some of these other divines had to say. First of all, to the third heaven. The Jews sometimes speak of seven heavens. And Muhammad has borrowed this idea from the Jews. But the Bible speaks of but three heavens. And among the Jews in the apostolic ages, also the heavens were divided into three. Number one, the aerial, including the clouds and the atmosphere, the heavens above us until we come to the stars. Number two, the starry heavens, the heavens in which the sun, the moon, and the stars appear to be situated. Number three, the heavens beyond the stars. The heaven was supposed to be the residence of God, and the residence of God, and ain't of angels and of the holy spirits. End of quote. Second one, in the sacred writings, three heavens are only mentioned. The first is the atmosphere, and that is the firmament or the expansion. The second is the starry heaven. Where are the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars? And even though the Scripture expresses these under the same terminology in the Hebrew. And then the third place of the blessed, or the third place of the blessed, or the throne of the divine glory, is probably expressed by the words the heavens of heavens. And so generally they get the same concept, don't they? There's three heavens. Again, the third quote. This is called the third heaven in respect to the airy and the starry heavens. He makes a reference that there was a distinction among the Jews. They called it the supreme heaven, the middle heaven, and the lower heaven. So they kind of defined it a little bit different. The last quote is this: the first heaven is that of the clouds, the air. The second, that of the stars, the sky. And the third is the spiritual. And you say, well, you could have just said the last one, we'd have been 5 minutes ahead of time. Well, it's still interesting to see that everybody just about kind of has the same concept about the third heaven. So when I talk about heaven, you know what? We can say, yeah, I'm going to the third heaven.
Amen.
When I die, that's where I'm going. And I ask you, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, you could say, are you going to the third heaven when you die? And just see what kind of look you get. You try that sometime. I didn't try that. It just occurred to me. We'll have to see how that works out. But are you going to the third heaven when you die? I can just almost see that. Well, what about these third heavens? Does the Bible teach three heavens? I believe that it does. These commentators believe that it does. We'll not give you every verse. But the first one is this. It's our atmosphere. Just a handful of examples. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Here's where the work begins. Here's where the topical starts off. Genesis chapter 1. There are many more. I'm not giving you nearly all these. I'm just giving you an example. Look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. You walk outside, you can see the birds fly. Where are they flying? They're flying in heaven. That's as simple as that. So this atmosphere that we are familiar with is called heaven in the Scripture. Listen, if you will. I'm going to ask you to turn some places. I'll just give you references to others. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 11. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heavens. Well, where does that come from? The rain of heaven comes from the clouds. It's in our atmosphere, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. We drove through a little bit of snow this afternoon. Where'd that come from? It came from heaven. Did it come from which heaven? The first, second, or the third? Came from the first heaven, didn't it? And so the snow comes from heaven and it returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You can multiply the examples very simply. I think we all understand. We know there's the first heaven and it's our atmosphere. We're good with that, I think. The second heaven then would be what? Well, as the commentator stated, it's the universe. That's how I define it. They called it the starry heavens. You're still there in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try to keep you fairly close so that you can just keep running through. Let's look just at a few examples. Verse 8. Genesis chapter 1, verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And you say, was he talking about the atmosphere? No, you have to understand what's going on in the context here. But he calls it heaven. Look at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Look what happens down in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. What heaven is he talking about? The firmament. He has to be talking about the starry heavens because, to my knowledge, there isn't any sun, moon, or stars within our atmosphere of this earth. Not within the first heaven. It's where the rain comes, and that's where the snow comes from, and that's where the birds fly. That's in the first heaven. But in the second heaven, you see the star. I noticed the other night as I've been walking back and forth, coming out to the country, you know what? I remember there's stars up there. You don't see them in Memphis too much. You know, you don't get too many glimpses of the stars. There's too many lights. But I walk out here and I look up and I go, wow, look at that. There's the Big Dipper and all that kind of thing. Stars of heaven. You know where they're at? They're in the universe, aren't they? Verse 14 we mentioned there. And look at verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And so the stars are in the second heaven. Verse 17. What do you see? And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Listen to chapter 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He said, now look toward the heavens. And when you go out of here tonight, you can look to the heavens and you can start counting the stars if you want. And so as he makes that promise, look to heaven. He's talking about the stars. Where were they? They are in the second heaven. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Where are the stars? Where are the moon? Where's the sun? That's in the second heaven. So many other places of Scripture that I will not give you the list, but we could multiply the examples. Very simply, there's three heavens the Bible tells us of. The first is our atmosphere, just as the commentator stated. The second is what I call the universe, and that's the starry heavens, as the commentators expressed. Now, we're interested in that third heaven. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And I simply define that third heaven, the commentator said, well, that's the spiritual. I define it as where God dwells.
Amen.
That's the simplest thing that I can put upon it. The third heaven is where God dwells. The interesting thing about that third heaven, and I just share this with you because I have several subpoints now as we think about where God dwells. First of all, you'll find the expression in the Scriptures, the heaven of heavens. But it's interesting. You're still in Deuteronomy. You should be. Turn over to chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10. There's a couple expressions about the heaven of heavens, but the last one I'm going to show you an example. Just, well, even that isn't big enough for God. God is so massive.
Amen.
But that's hard for us to think of because we think in the physical. So I don't want to confuse you. Just look at the text. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and the earth also and all that is therein. But you find the text, the heaven of heavens, don't you? Listen to Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath He given to the children of men. Same thing is stated in Psalm 68, verse 33. If you're taking notes, you have to go pretty quick. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. Notice this. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. I believe that the third heaven is the place where God dwells. But really, the Scripture says that that doesn't even contain Him.
Right.
I don't understand all that, I confess. I don't understand all that, but I believe the Bible.
Amen.
And so when I think about the third heaven, I think of the place where God dwells.
Amen.
And the Bible calls it sometimes the heaven of heavens. Secondly, you'll find that God resides in heaven. Well, that makes sense if my point is true that God dwells there. Go back to Deuteronomy 4. And look at verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in. The Lord, He is God in heaven above. And of course it can't contain Him. And upon the earth beneath, for there is none else. Where does God dwell? Well, it really is if we can say it in a, not to be flippant, but his address is heaven. That's the third heaven is where he dwells.
Amen.
So, listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. The Lord God our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And willest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Where does God dwell? He dwells in heaven. And so we talk about God, we preach about God, and we look in the Scripture, so many things about God. And my friend, you always have to keep in mind that He dwells up there. Job 22, verse 12, is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And He's beyond all that. I don't know that I really agree with the scientists about the expansiveness of the universe. Personally, I kind of have an idea. I can't prove it, but I just kind of have an idea, just like your mirror on the side that says things are closer than they appear. I kind of think that things are a little bit closer than they appear. I can't prove that, but that's just what bounces around in my brain. But I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. Boy, all that out there, you stand up and you look how far that is and all. You know what? He's beyond that.
Amen.
The third heaven is beyond the starry heavens.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You remember? Which is in heaven.
Amen.
Where's God dwell? The residence of God is in heaven. Oh, so many other verses. But Psalm 123. I invite you to turn over there. 123. Verse 1. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. God dwells in heaven. He resides there. Number 3, He is called the God of heaven. How do you get around? If He doesn't dwell in there, how can He be called the God of heaven? He's the God of heaven. Psalm 136. Turn, please. Psalm 136. Verse 26. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. He's the God of heaven. So many more examples I could give you. But He is called the God of heaven. One other I will give is Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. By the way, I agree with his theology. I believe God is the Creator of this universe, and He is the sustainer. And God created all this out of nothing, ex nihilo, and spoke it into existence. I believe that with all of my heart. Everything we see, everything we're familiar with, anything you can touch or whatever, you know, God made it. God's the Creator. Where does He dwell? He dwells in heaven, and He's called the God of heaven. You also find, then, number, what is that? 4, that God looks down from heaven. You're still in Psalms? Go to the chapter 14, or the 14th Psalm. 14th Psalm. Verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Where did He look down from? Look down from heaven. Psalm 53, verse 2 will give you the same kind of concept. Turn to the 33rd Psalm. 33rd Psalm. Verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. You say, we can't see that far, but He can. I mean, they're trying with telescopes and all kinds of things to see the farthest reaches of the universe, and they're still not even being able to glimpse any of that. God's up there in heaven just looking down.
Amen.
He sees everything about us, and by the way, He sees right into your heart. That's who God is. And so He's God who looks down from heaven. Go to Psalm 102, 102nd Psalm. Verse 19. For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Isn't that something? God looked down. Same references and thought is conveyed in Psalm 113 and verse 6, Isaiah 63 verse 15, Lamentation 3:15. I mean, you kind of get the idea. And God looks down from heaven. Number 5, you'll find an expression in the Scripture where it says, "Hear thou in heaven." You know, when you pray, you can now utter the words, "Hear thou in heaven." You know why? Because that's where God is. "Hear thou in heaven." Listen to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 32. "Then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness." Hear thou in heaven. You hear our prayer, God, here in heaven. Chapter 8, verse 34, same thing, 1 Kings. "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gave unto thy fathers." Verse 36, same text. "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance." Verse 39, same text. Kind of get the idea. Solomon had an idea and a concept that God heard prayer and he was in heaven. Verse 39, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place." I could have used that in the other section. "But thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways." Sinner, you better listen to that.
Amen.
"Whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou, knowest the hearts of all the children of men." You say, God's in heaven, He can't see that far off. Ah, my friend, you're sadly mistaken. God looks down from heaven, and you know what? He sees, He knows everything.
Amen.
That's who God is. So many other references, but I ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles. Can you guess at chapter 7? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Very familiar passage. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven."
Amen.
See that? "And will forgive their sin and will hear heal their land." I'm glad that God in heaven can hear my prayer. We're told that in Hebrews that we can come to the throne of grace. Wow.
Yeah.
Somehow, when we cry out to God from this place, all the way to the third heaven, quicker than the speed of light. It doesn't take light years for our prayers to get there, but instantly. "Hear thou in heaven." Wow. Then number 6. You'll find passages referring to God that's from heaven or out of heaven. And I'll tell you, when you try to summarize and group verses like the hundreds that you'll find, it's not always the easiest thing to do. So I kind of have to give you this group. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 14. "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttereth His voice." Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Where did that thunder come from that God did? He did it from heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Jesus, as He was baptized, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Where did that voice come from? It came from heaven. And it wasn't by speakerphone. Wasn't text message or anything like that.
Amen.
And I don't know the logistics of it, how that voice could travel, what time frame is, and all that kind of thing. All I know, from heaven, that voice issued, "This is my beloved Son," from heaven. And of course, Mark chapter 1, verse 11 tells us the same thing. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven." Where did Jesus come from? "From heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Where did Jesus come from? He's not from this world.
Amen.
Come from heaven. That's what the Scripture tells us. Again, so many other references. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. Listen, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. From heaven. He is not the product of an affair between Mary and a Roman soldier.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was conceived and married by the Holy Spirit. And that means Jesus Christ came from heaven.
Amen.
Way up there.
Amen.
And so we read in John chapter 12, verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice, where? From heaven, saying, "I both glorified it and will glorify it again." I kind of have the idea that there's a third heaven out there, and that's the place where God dwells, and He's looking and He's seeing. He does all kinds of things from that third heaven.
Amen.
It's the only way I can understand the Scripture. And that's, I think it's clear to you, isn't it? Number seven, some of those verses refer to God as speaking unto heaven or into heaven or to heaven. The last one was from. This is to. So where would he be? In the third heaven. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. One up.
Amen.
You say, well, they saw him go up in the clouds. Yeah, that was just the first heaven.
Right.
I kind of have a feeling they lost sight of him a little way up, but he just kept right on going.
Amen.
And where'd he go? He went into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. You say, well, it's a starry universe. No, because God's throne isn't in the starry universe. It's in the third heaven. And that's where Jesus went to when he ascended. He went up to the right hand of God. Again, so many other references. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Listen, which also said, ye men of Galilee, the angel speaking as Jesus ascended, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And they were looking into our atmosphere. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. And they might just interpret that as the heaven, but we already know he went much further beyond that. He shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.
Amen.
And so if you say, well, he just went up there and got in a spaceship, you're wrong. He didn't go to some other planet.
Right.
He went from here to the third heaven.
Amen.
That's the only way I can take the Scripture. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. He being full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, when he was stoned to death, as some Baptist preacher said, rocked asleep. But as he was stoned to death, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Where did he see it? In heaven. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Where did he see? Somehow. I have no idea how. Somehow, Stephen was able to see beyond the expanse of the universe and saw right into heaven itself and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Amen.
The Scriptures tell us then that God, well, things happen from into or toward heaven as well as from heaven. And one other verse, Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. I'm about finished. Hang in with me. Other references, of course, I just don't give you them all. There are some references in the Scripture. I'm going to give you one verse here and one reference to that about the Scriptures talking about toward when it's toward heaven, it's toward God. And what I'm going to refer to is Daniel chapter 4. You can listen to the text. You're welcome to turn over there. But Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, and it says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Where did he look? He said, I looked up to heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Do you know why he looked up to heaven? Because that's where God dwells.
Amen.
And so he looked up to heaven. If I want to think about where God was, I'm looking up. That's what the Scripture speaks of. And when you look toward heaven, you look toward God. And then finally tonight, the Scripture tells us that the heavens were opened. Are you in Matthew still? You should be. Chapter 3. If not, you can turn over there. Chapter 3, verse 16. Another reference to the baptism of Jesus. We heard about the voice, but notice verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. I don't understand all that, but the heavens were opened.
Amen.
This atmosphere split, the starry sky split, heaven was open, and here comes the Spirit of God right out of heaven. I can't explain all that, but I believe it.
Amen.
I believe the third heaven, they looked right into it. Listen, if you will, 1 Kings 22, 19. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the host of heaven standing by Him on His right hand and on His left. You say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that He was in the third heaven. I kind of think that it does. If all the hosts of heaven were standing on His right hand and on His left in His throne, where is all that? It's in the third heaven.
Amen.
And yet we have a record here that He saw that in the third heaven, I believe. Acts chapter 7, verse 56, and behold, I see heavens open. Again, Stephen says, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. the heavens can open up. So in conclusion, giving you a lot to handle, and hopefully it was a help to you, textual, a lot of things there. We'll have a quiz tomorrow night before the service. No, just kidding. In conclusion, and listen very carefully, the Bible tells us there's a third heaven. I think if you believe the Bible, you have to believe that. You do. So there is a third heaven. I'm convinced, biblically, just as the other commentators are, that the first would be our atmosphere. I think that's true. The second would be the starry universe. And I think that's true. The third will be where God dwells. So when you read in the Bible about the dwelling place of God and where God is, and you talk about heaven and where you're going to go when you die, you have to think of the third heaven. You have to. But that leads me to tell you this as we finish. Number two, heaven is a real place. You say, but I can't see it. I can't touch it. Well, no, you can't. But it's there. Just as much as the first heaven is here and the second heaven is there, I guarantee you there is a third heaven. And heaven is real. And so if you're here tonight as a skeptic, unbeliever, saying, there's no such thing as heaven and hell, you can accept that if you wish, but you're dead wrong. I don't mean to offend you, but I just want you to know the Bible tells us different. And you know there's a first heaven, and you know there's a second heaven. You can't prove whether or not there's a third heaven. But you're saying, there's no such thing as heaven, and there's no such thing as hell. You better rethink that. You better put her in reverse and back up a little. Because I'm telling you, skeptic, the heaven is real.
Amen.
God is real.
Amen.
And so that tells me something else. And this is number three. Heaven is a real place. God is real. And He resides in heaven. Now, that's what the Bible teaches us. So you might be saying there's no heaven and there's no God. You can believe that if you wish, but you're dreadfully wrong. There is a heaven. And if there's a third heaven out there, somebody lives there, and it's God. It's God. So I submit unto you as I finish, and this is point number four, and I'm done. Jesus, and we read this, Jesus, God's Son, left heaven to come to earth to die for sinners. And He alone is the Savior. Where did Jesus come from? From heaven. And I'll tell you, dear sinner, if you just even begin to think about that, why in the world would God the Son leave that third heaven to come to this pitiful little rinky-dink planet and lay His glory aside to come here to become a man only to die? Why in the world? I'm telling you, you just think way too much of yourself. You need to understand, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. But because God in His love has chosen to love us, God sent His Son, and He left that third heaven and came to earth and became a man. Lived a life, 33 and a half years approximately, never did anything wrong, never sinned, and He was killed as a sinner, and He was crucified, He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And when He rose again, 40 days later, He ascended up into heaven. And the Bible teaches one of these days, He's coming back from heaven to earth again.
Amen.
Are you ready? Sinner, are you prepared? I believe in the third heaven. And I believe that's where God dwells. And so many other things we looked at tonight. Now, tomorrow what we'll do, Lord willing, same kind of scenario, kind of got it in gear what we're doing here. We're going to describe heaven in the same fashion. And it just goes just that step a little bit longer than just reading one text out of Revelation talking about no more pain, no more sorrow. There's more verses than that about heaven. And so we want to describe heaven tomorrow night. It's the second half, and we'll give you all those verses, the Lord willing, tomorrow night. So, sinner, you need to be thinking about that, about heaven about hell and where you're going, and be reminded of Jesus, the Savior. Christian, man, you ought to be fired up. Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to the third heaven. And one of these days we're going there.